Sukadev Goswami has begun narrating the pastimes of Krishna.
Or he's just about to begin.
Maharaj Prakrit has asked him specifically about Krishna after Sukadev had spoken to him about the descendants of in the Soma monks in the dynasty coming from the moon. And Maharaj Prakrit, hearing this Krishna katha, even though he's fasting, even though he's not eating anything, he's not even drinking, still he's neither tired nor hungry nor thirsty, because his mind is fixed on hearing about Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami is so qualified, so realized, that he is revealing Krishna through his words, through the sound vibration to Maharaj Prakrit. Text 14. Sutta Goswami said, for Sutta is narrating this in the pastimes to the sages of Namasharanya, O son of Bhrigu, Shamanika Rishi, because Bhrigu Muni is a forefather of Shamanika Rishi. After Sukadev Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadeva, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Prakrit all about Krishna, pulling out Krishna katha, attentive listening, asking questions about Krishna, wanting to hear more and more. So after Sukadev Goswami heard the pious questions of Maharaj Prakrit, he thanked the king with great respect, because he thanked him because it gave him the opportunity, his questions gave him the opportunity to speak about Krishna. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. Kali Yuga is an age of suffering. Try to enjoy in Kali Yuga. The promises are always there for enjoyment. But try. And the more one endeavors to enjoy, the more one is filled with desires for enjoyment, the more suffering is going to be. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita, perhaps the 14th chapter, because desire is born of passion. And passion leads to an increase of desires. And the more desires we have, rather than achieving more happiness, we only achieve more suffering. So therefore, in the Vedic culture, the system basically was to live very simply, to simplify the desires, to simplify our lives, not to increase them more and more and more and more. Because the more things we desire, say if we are an individual and we have a capacity. Everyone has a capacity to satisfy his desires. Some people may have more capacity than others, but everyone has a limited ability to satisfy his desires. He can only be in one place at one time. He only has a certain amount of strength in his body. He only has a certain amount of intelligence. Everyone is limited. Even though some person's limitation may be greater than another person's, everyone is limited. So if we increase our desires, the more we have, but our ability to satisfy our desires always remains the same, basically remains the same. So that means the more desires we have, the smaller percentage of desires we can fulfill, and the smaller percentage of the desires we can fulfill, and the more desires we have, naturally the more unfulfilled desires we have, and the more unfulfilled desires we have, the more frustrated we are. So in the Vedic culture, the attempt was to live simply, not to always be increasing the desires, increasing the things we want, increasing the envy, increasing the jealousy, increasing the misery. So this Krishna Katha, or the topics concerning Krishna, they are the remedy for suffering, because what the result of hearing about Krishna is that our desires on the material side become diminished, because we hear how it is not possible for one to be happy on the material level. And on the other hand, our desire to know Krishna, to love Krishna, increases. And our desires focus gradually or quickly, depending upon who we are. Desires focus on that one thing of knowing and serving and loving Krishna with great devotion. Here's Prabhupada's purport. And in this purport, I think it's in this one. No. Only in a general way. Okay. In this verse, the word Krishna Charitam Kalikam Sagnam indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea, the cure-all for all miseries, because there are unlimited different varieties of miseries. So there's miseries due to the mind, and miseries due to the body, and miseries due to this. So we tend to have different cures for each of the different miseries. The misery of being tired we cure by taking rest. The misery of being hungry we cure by eating something. The misery of being poor, the misery of poor get some money. The misery of unhealthiness get this. But the panacea, the cure-all for all miseries is Krishna Katha. Because by Krishna Katha, we lose the very source of miseries, which is the material body. And we attain a spiritual body, a spiritual identity in relationship with Krishna. So it is the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in the age of Kali, where the miseries of the mind are so dominant. It is said that in Kali Yuga, people have only short lives and they have no culture of spiritual consciousness. If anyone is at all interested in spiritual culture, he is misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. There are so many alternatives to Krishna consciousness, so many alternatives to deep religion, so many alternatives. For someone who's actually desiring spiritually, it's so easy to get misled. Therefore, most people are unfortunate and disturbed by many calamities. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam at the request of Narada Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people of this age. Kali Kama Sagnam. The Krishna consciousness movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. So you are all amongst the advanced educated ones. Yes? Srila Sukadeva Goswami is described in this verse as Bhagavat Pradhan, or as Maharaj Prakrit is described as Vishnu Ratam. Both words bear the same meaning, that is, Maharaj Prakrit was a great devotee of Krishna, and Sukadeva Goswami was also a great saintly person and a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Combined together to present Krishna Katha, the hearer and the speaker, both very qualified, both with love for Krishna, electricity develops, so to speak. The intense thirst that Maharaj Prakrit had to hear about Krishna pulled, like the negative pole pulls the positive. So if we're satisfied in material life, if we're not feeling empty, if we're not feeling negative, there is no pull. So therefore distress, by Krishna's mercy, is a gift to everyone in Kali Yuga. Distress is a great gift because that creates a longing in the heart for something different. We may not know what that something different is, but at least there's a dissatisfaction, a longing, a negative. So then, if by Krishna's grace we come in contact with someone who positively has something, like Sukadeva Goswami, that negative has value because it pulls and draws the positive. So the two great saintly persons were together, one hearing, one speaking, combined together to present Krishna Katha. They give great relief to suffering humanity. Anartu pasamam shakshad bhakti yoga hoksha jay lokasya ajanato vidvan chakre sattvidisamita. The material miseries of the living entity, that's from the seventh chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, that verse. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him. What does it mean that the material miseries are superfluous?
Time to the real self.
Yeah, they're extra, not required. Consider that. Material miseries that we suffer have nothing to do with us, actually. They don't pertain to the self. They're extra. So let us get rid of this extra by this method of Krishna Katha. But they can be, the verse continues, these material miseries, which are superfluous to him, they can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people, lokasya ajanato vipram, the mass of people don't know this. And therefore, the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. People in general are unaware that the message of Srimad Bhagavatam can give all human society relief from the pangs of Kali Yuga. Kali Kama Sagnam. Yes, that's from this. Kali Kama Sagnam, from this verse. Diminishes the troubles of the age of Kali. Next verse, text 15. So Maharaj Prakrit is asked, he wants to hear it now. Sukadeva Goswami is beginning his reply. That last text was Sutta Goswami speaking to the sages. Sukadeva Goswami said, O your majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva. Vasudeva means Krishna. It is certain that your intelligence is firmly affixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for your humanity. So many artificial false goals exist in this world, and they attract so many different kinds of people of different mentalities. Some people's goal is power, others is this kind of enjoyment. Some people collect old radios. Didn't you? You met that person? He had so many old radios, every old radio practically ever produced in Australia. Imagine making that your goal. What do you think? He had hundreds of them. And there's so many people. There's one man that, very pious soul, and more pious than the old radio collector in Bombay. One very wealthy Gujarati man that we know, he collects Rolls Royces. Yes, at least 50, 60, 70 of all different vintages like that. Some people collect wine. Some people collect pickle. I know in India there are people like that. I know one man who had lemon pickles that were 50 years old. Collected them on every occasion. Break out the lemon pickle, and it was actually the most amazing thing. You'd eat this much, and it was so powerful, it would help you digest your whole meal. So people have their different goals in life. People collect ducks, dogs, so many things. Money, that's a big one, of course. CDs, people collect. So many desires. But what is the true goal for humans, for humanity? And that is to develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. A taste for hearing about Krishna will ensure that we experience Krishna. Directly experience Krishna. Taste for chanting Krishna's names. Dudaiva Vidrizamihana Januraga. Mahaprabhu prayed, but unfortunate as I am, I have no taste. So Sukadeva is saying, because your king, your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity, to understand about Krishna. What else is truly valuable? We'll have to leave everything else behind. Because that attraction is unceasing. It is so firm and developed attraction to Krishna consciousness. It is certainly sublime. The Ganges emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu, this is Sukadev continuing to speak, purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudev, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. Everyone is benefiting. And now it's going to begin. Now Sukadeva will go begin at the beginning. This is where, at this point, is where the Krishna book begins. The actual first chapter of the Krishna book begins at this point. So now he's going to tell of the events leading to the birth of Lord Krishna. Once, when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes, or armies, of various conceited demons dressed like kings, she approached Lord Brahma for relief. Now we'll read just this little section at the end of Prabhupada's purport, and you can tell that this sounds very familiar of contemporary society. An overburdening of military force. Prabhupada explains, even long ago, asuras, persons devoid of God consciousness, became the heads of state. And now this is happening again. The various states of the world are preoccupied with arranging for military strength. Sometimes they spend 65% of the government's revenue for this purpose. But why should people's hard-earned money be spent in this way? Because of the present world situation, Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Think about that. Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. What does Prabhupada mean by Krishna is the Krishna is descended in this form? Is the Maha Mantra exactly the same as the Krishna consciousness movement?
Krishna is.
But yeah. But what is it? Well, how? In what sense?
It's propagating the new.
Is Krishna perfect? Is the Krishna consciousness movement perfect? Does it ever make mistakes? So in what sense is Krishna, has he descended in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement? Prabhupada will speak about this again later. But as you said, Krishna is actually in the movement. He's actually in this movement in the form of his holy names, in the form of the holy books. in the form of talking about Krishna, in the form of Krishna's service, in the form of the deities, in the form of so many facilities given for Krishna's service. And to the extent that these fill up the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement, to that extent Krishna is exactly the same as the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada once said, without preaching, the institution becomes rubbish. So that aspect can also be present, a lot of rubbish in the institution too. So how to clean the rubbish? The same way as we clean the heart. Make a dominance of chanting Krishna's name. Make a dominance of preaching. Make a dominance of the deity worship. And everything else swept out the door. Thing, that's actually the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to glorify Krishna. And then in Krishna's glorification, he's present. So Prabhupada explains, Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement, a very big responsibility for the members of the Krishna consciousness movement to keep Krishna alive and healthy, not to expel him from the Krishna consciousness movement. Keep him always there in the chanting of his names and Krishna Katha and Krishna Vigraha and Krishna Pasaram also. And Prabhupada concludes, this is quite natural that Krishna has descended in this way. For without the Krishna consciousness movement, the world cannot be peaceful and happy. Very big responsibility to make it, this movement, what it is supposed to be. Transparently Krishna. So there was an overburdening of the earth, demoniac forces, military forces, exploitation of the people. And Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow, very much distressed, with tears in her eyes. She appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods approached the shore of the Milk Ocean. After reaching the shore of the Ocean of Milk, the demigods worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, it is Shiradaksha Vishnu, the Master of the whole universe, the Supreme God of all gods in the universe. One who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering, they worshipped him. With great attention, they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk by reciting the Vedic mantras known as Purusha Shukta. Bolie, you know it. A little bit. First three slogans. Okay. It's powerful. So auspicious. So all the demigods were reciting these prayers to, this is actually, these are meant to please Gobadaksha Vishnu. You also know it? Oh, I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. So, and then, as this auspicious glorification of Gobadaksha Vishnu was taking place, Lord Brahma meditated upon the Lord in trance. He went deeply into meditation. And while in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. So he responded to the appeal that Bhumi was Devi was gave to the Lord through Lord Brahma. So he heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky, and thus he told the demigods. So he heard it and transferred the message that he heard. He said, "All demigods," this is Lord Brahma, the topmost of the demigods, "O demigods, hear from me the order of Kiridaksha Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay." There was a distressful condition. This is, practically speaking, the difference between a pious person, a demigod, and an impious person, an asura, demonic type of person. Bhumi, the demigods, there was some distress. And where did they go? Immediately, they went to the Lord to take shelter of Him. They didn't. They were very powerful, but they didn't rely on their own power. They didn't rely on their physical strength, their wealth, their intelligence, their connections. They didn't rely on anything external. They relied on the Supreme Lord. But someone who doesn't have that type of piety or purity, he relies on himself. "I trust myself." Lord Brahma continued, "Inform the demigods. Before we submitted our petition to the Lord, before we even told him, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear that through different plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus." So he said that he is going to descend to the earth. And for the entire time he descends, and he's going to descend as the form of time. Very interesting. And for what purpose? To remove the demonic strength. So that means that time actually does this. And this is actually Krishna. Krishna's potency, a shakti, or an energy of the Paramatma. The prayers to the Paramatma. Is time. Kalosmin loka chaya krit. Time I am, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And I have come to destroy all things. All things, all power of the demoniac, all plans, all wealth, strength, beauty, all will be destroyed, crushed by Krishna's time factor. So Krishna is going to come to do that, and he does that very much in his pastimes when he appears on earth in the form of the battle of Kurukshetra. But Krishna has a more pleasing, wonderful feature for the devotees, and he will display that also when he comes, and we shall hear about that. And that is actually the real reason why he comes. He doesn't have to come himself to destroy the demons. Ghaniyam bhavati bharata bhutanamadomasya tatmanam shrijam yaham paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chataskitam. Vinashya-achadaskita means to destroy the demonic, but he can do that just by his desire, by his will, just in a moment. His real reason for coming is to associate, to give association to his devotees. Prabhupada explains in his purport, we'll read a little bit down from the beginning. In this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the words Puraiva Pumsa Vadrito Dara Jara. The word Pumsa refers to Krishna, who was already aware of how the whole world was suffering because of the increase of demons. Without reference to the supreme power of the personality of Godhead, demons assert themselves to be independent kings and presidents, and thus they create a disturbance by increasing their military power. When such disturbances are very prominent, Krishna appears. At present also, various demoniac states all over the world are increasing their military power in many ways, and the whole situation has become distressful. Therefore, Krishna has appeared by his name in the Hare Krishna movement. So that's the Hare Krishna movement function again, to spread Krishna's name, to spread Krishna. He is there. Krishna is there. It is a blessing, a gift of the Hare, that the Hare Krishna movement has. It is the wealth of the Hare Krishna movement. Therefore, Krishna has appeared in his name in the Hare Krishna movement, which will certainly diminish the burden of the world. Philosophers, religionists, and people in general must take to this movement very seriously, for man-made plans and devices will not help bring peace on earth. The transcendental sound Hare Krishna is not different from the person Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Abhinatam Namanamano. There is no difference between the sound Hare Krishna and Krishna, the person. Brahma continues. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. So this is what Brahma is saying. This is what he has heard from Krishna. Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Chakva deyam puna janma naiti mameti. After giving up the present body, the devotee of the Lord returns home back to Godhead. This means that the devotee is first transferred to the particular universe where the Lord is at that time staying to exhibit his pastimes. There are innumerable universes, and the Lord is appearing in one of those universes at every moment. Therefore, his pastimes are called nityalila, eternal pastimes. Just like an example on an airplane. Now they show videos, but previously and still in Air India, they have movies. And what they do is they thread the film in one place, and they make a very, very, very long loop. Not loop, but a long train of the movie film to another place where it winds. So it's over here and it's unwound on one side and it winds on the other. Winds onto the reel on the other. And they have different projectors located in different parts. So what's happening on one projector will happen 20 seconds later on the next projector as the film moves. So in the same way, Krishna's lila, if it's not going on here, Krishna's activities, his birth, his killing Putana, his this pastime, that pastime, they're always continuously moving from one place to the next, eternally and continuously. And in addition, Krishna is eternally performing his lila in the spiritual world. Both are going on simultaneously, eternally in the material world. So when one scene is no longer on, and this projector, it is going on in another projector. And also that is in the material world and the spiritual world, the leelas are going on internally. Uprakat. Unmanifest to material vision. So there are innumerable universes, and the Lord is appearing in one of those universes at every moment. Therefore his pastimes are called Nitya Leela, eternal pastimes. The Lord's appearance as a child in the house of Devaki takes place continuously in one universe after another. Therefore the devotee is first transferred to that particular universe where the pastimes of the Lord occur. So after a devotee who is pure, after he leaves this body, he doesn't immediately go to the spiritual world. He takes his next birth in a universe where Krishna's pastimes are going on. Prabhupada will describe that. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, even if a devotee does not complete the course of devotional service, he enjoys the happiness of the heavenly planets, where the most pious people dwell, and then takes birth in the house of a Suchi or Sriman, a pious Brahmin or a wealthy Vaishya. Suchi nam, Shivatangehe yoga, brashto vajayate. Thus a pure devotee, even if he is unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary system where pious people reside. From there, if his devotional service is complete, such a devotee is transferred to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. Herein it is said, Sambhavantu Surastriya. Surastri, the women of the heavenly planets, were thus ordered to appear in the Yadu dynasty in Vrindavan to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Surastri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. So Prabhupada is explaining that if one is pure, pure devotee, that means he has no other desire, when he dies or his body dies, he is transferred to the planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes. And if one is not so pure, but one is a devotee, he goes to the heavenly planets and enjoys, because if that's what someone wants, that's what someone gets. And out of those, on the demigod level, if someone completes his purity, then he will take his birth also in Krishna's planet, or where Krishna is performing his pastimes. So these demigoddesses that were requested by Krishna to take their birth during his leela were those pure devotee demigoddesses. These Surastri, when further trained to live with Krishna, they would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. During Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, the Surastri were to appear in different ways, in different families, to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained by before going to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. And they get that by association with the Nitya Siddha personages, Nitya Siddha gopis, the eternally liberated, those who descend with Krishna from the spiritual worlds. When those Nitya Siddha gopis associate with these Surastri gopis, then the Surastri gopis are elevated by that association, and they become qualified, get further training to go to the spiritual world. With the association of Lord Krishna, either at Dwarkapuri, Mathurapuri, or Vrindavan, they would certainly return home, back to Godhead. Amongst the Surastri, the women of the heavenly planets, there are many devotees, such as the mother of the Upendra incarnation of Krishna, who is such devoted women who are called for in this connection. Text 24. Now, Brahma is describing further what the Lord told him in his meditation. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Shankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Shankarachan will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. So Krishna will take his birth and Balaram. So this is Krishna Balaram. And together they will be in Braja and perform so many pastimes. But not only Krishna and Balaram will descend. Text 25. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. So, this is called Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. So this potency, there is one potency, but depending on who it is dealing with, or the realm that it is dealing with, it acts to bring people closer to Krishna, or acts to bring people, souls, further from Krishna. And this depends basically on the desire. Whether we get Yoga Maya or Mahamaya depends upon our desire. If we want Mahamaya to be covered in our relationship with Krishna, this energy of Krishna's illusory energy will cover us more deeply. We want to be act as if we were the center of existence. If we want to act as the enjoyer, then we have to forget our relationship with Krishna. So Mahamaya will cover us more and more to facilitate that desire of ours. And if we want to get closer to Krishna, Yoga Maya will uncover us and engage us in Krishna's service in such a way that we can serve Krishna more purely and fully and more devotionally. So Prabhupada will explain some of this in his purport. We'll read about them about halfway down. When the conditioned soul becomes liberated, he thinks himself an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Surupoi Krishna Nityadas. When he comes to that position, the same potency, the potency that has bewildered him as Mahamaya, turns, acts as Yoga Maya. And it increasingly helps him become purified and devote his energy to the service of the Lord. In either case, whether the soul is conditioned or liberated, the Lord is supreme. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharan, it is by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the material energy, Mahamaya, works upon the conditioned soul. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani sarvasya hamkara mudama kartaham imanyate. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Within conditioned life, no one has freedom. But because one is bewildered, being subject to the rule of Mahamaya, one foolishly thinks himself independent. But when the conditioned soul becomes liberated by executing devotional service, he is given a greater and greater chance to relish a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different transcendental statuses such as Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras. We can develop our relationship with Krishna by the mercy of this Yoga Maya. Thus the Lord's potency, Vishnu Maya, has two features, Avaranayak and Unmuk. When the Lord appears, his potency came with him and acted in different ways. She acted as Yoga Maya with Yasoda, Devaki and other intimate relations of the Lord, and she acted in a different way with Kamsa, Salva, and other demons, asuras. By the order of Lord Krishna, his potency, Yogamaya, came with him and exhibited different activities according to the time and circumstances. Karyate sambhavishyati. Yogamaya acted differently to execute different purposes desired by the Lord. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanastu Mamparta Daivim Prakritamashrita. The Mahatmas who are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord are directed by Yogamaya. Whereas the Duratmas, those who are devoid of devotional service, are directed by Mahamaya. Text 26. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus advising the demigods and pacifying Mother Earth, the very powerful Lord Brahma, who is the master of all the other Prajapatis, the progenitors of this world, and is therefore known as Prajapati Pati, returned to his own abode, Brahmaloka. So Krishna answered the prayers, the request of Mother Earth, of the demigods, of Lord Brahma, saying, I will solve the problem by coming myself. But not only will I come myself, I will come with Lord Balaram and my internal energy, my potency, my shakti, Yogamaya, who can act as illusion for the materialists or can bring one closer to Krishna. And then Brahma, after telling the demigods this, he went back to his own abode. Sukadeva Goswami continued. He went back to his own abode. Text 27. So that is one level of the story of the birth of Krishna. Now we are coming closer to the actual birth. The incidents that occurred before Krishna was born. This is text 27. Formerly, Surasena, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, had gone to live in the city of Mathura. There he enjoyed the places known as Mathura and Surasena. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Lord Krishna lives there eternally. We'll read that purport, but we'll come back to it. Who belonged to the Sura dynasty, Sura family, the demigod family, married Devaki. And after the marriage, he mounted his chariot to return home with his newly married wife. Kamsa, the son of King Ugrasena, in order to please his sister Devaki on the occasion of her marriage, took charge of the reins of the horses and became the chariot driver. He was surrounded by hundreds of golden chariots. So there was a marriage ceremony, and the older brother of Devaki, of the bride, was driving the chariot. He was bringing his youngest sister out of his affection, was bringing his youngest sister to the home of her new husband. Devaki's father, King Devaka, was very much affectionate to his daughter. Therefore, while she and her husband were leaving home, he gave her a dowry of 400 elephants, nicely decorated with golden garlands. He also gave 10,000 horses, 1,800 chariots, and 200 very beautiful young maidservants, fully decorated with ornaments. O beloved son, Maharaj Prickett, when the bride and bridegroom were ready to start, conch shells, bugles, drums, and kettle drums all vibrated in concert for their auspicious departure. It was a big marriage ceremony. While Kamsa, controlling the reins of the horses, was driving the chariot along the way, an unembodied voice addressed him. He heard a voice in the sky that said, "You foolish rascal, the eighth child of the woman you are carrying will kill you." Read that report to him. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, He caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand, and he took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Prabhupada's purport. Kamsa was driving the chariot and controlling the reins with his left hand. But as soon as he heard the omen that his sister's eighth child would kill him, he gave up the reins, caught hold of his sister's hair, and with his right hand, he took up his sword to kill her. Before, he had been so affectionate that he was acting as his sister's chariot driver. But as soon as he heard that his self-interest or his life was at risk, he forgot all his affection for her and immediately became a great enemy. That is the nature of demons. No one should trust a demon despite any amount of affection. Because selfishness, deep selfishness is at the root of the core of your hearts. Now we'll go back and read. We'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll hear if he actually gets to kill her or not. You think Kams will kill Devaki? What do you think?
No. We've seen the play.
Huh?
We've seen the play.
You were Devaki in the play, weren't you?
Devaki in the play.
Oh, are you?
Unless
he was Devaki in the play.
Oh. I think I was Devaki in the play, now that I think of it. Now, this is Prabhupada's purport to... about that voice came from the sky and said, Kamsa, you rascal, they're driving the chariot as if you love them and everything, but their child is going to kill you. Prabhupada's purport. The omen spoke of astamo garbha, referring to the eighth pregnancy. The garbha means embryo or womb. But did not clearly say whether the child was to be a son or a daughter. Even if Kamsa were to see that the eighth child of Devaki was a daughter, he should have no doubt that the eighth child was to kill him. According to the Vishwakosh dictionary, the word garbha means embryo, and also arbhaka, or child. Kamsa was affectionate towards his sister, and therefore he had become the chariot driver to carry her and his brother-in-law to their home. The demigods, however, did not want Kamsa to be affectionate toward Devaki. And therefore, from an unseen position, they encouraged Kamsa to offend her. So this was the demigods working. Moreover, the six sons of Marici had been cursed to take birth from the womb of Devaki. And upon being killed by Kamsa, they would be delivered. When Devaki understood that Kamsa would be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who would appear from her womb, she felt great joy. The word vahase is also significant because it indicates that the ominous vibration condemned Kamsa for acting just like a beast of burden by carrying his enemy's mother. So the demigods wanted to speed things up, and therefore they increased the enmity between Kamsa and Devaki in this way. And Kamsa's true nature came out, so they spoke these words. And the final clip, what we'll read, is about Mathura Vrindavan. Because this is where Krishna chose to take birth. It is understood, as Prabhupada's purport, that Mathura city is the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. It is not an ordinary material city, for it is eternally connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrindavan is within the jurisdiction of Mathura, and it still continues to exist. Rasa, you have seen Vrindavan? Yes? You can assure us that it still continues to exist? You have seen? Very good. Because Mathura and Vrindavan are intimately connected with Krishna eternally, it is said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavanam prityaja padam ekam nagacchati. Not one step Padam Ekam. Nagar City. At present, the place known as Vrindavan in the district of Mathura continues its position as a transcendental place. And certainly, anyone who goes there becomes transcendentally purified. Navadip Dham is also intimately connected with Brajabhumi. Srila Narottama Das Thakur therefore says, Sri Gauram Mandala Bhumi Leva Jane Chintamani Tarehai Brajabhumi Vas. Brajabhumi refers to Mathura Vrindavan, and Gauram Mandala Bhumi includes Navadip. These two places are not different. Therefore, anyone living in Navadvip Dham, knowing Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same personality, lives in Brajabhumi, Mathura Vrindavan. The Lord has made it convenient for the conditioned souls to live in Mathura Vrindavan and Navadvip, and thus be directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply by living in these places, one can immediately come in contact with the Lord. There are many devotees who vow never to leave Vrindavan and Mathura. This is undoubtedly a good vow. But if one leaves Vrindavan, Mathura, or Navadvip Dham for the service of the Lord, he is not disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At any rate, we must understand the transcendental importance of Mathura, Vrindavan, and Navadvip Dham. Anyone who executes devotional service in these places certainly goes back home, back to Godhead, after giving up his body. Thus the words Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanito Hare are particularly important. A devotee should fully utilize this instruction to the best of his ability. Whenever the Supreme Lord personally appears, he appears in Mathura because of his intimate connection with this place. Therefore, though Mathura and Vrindavan are situated on this planet Earth, they are transcendental abodes of the Lord. How is it possible that a place on this Earth can be transcendental? Raise your hand if you've been to Vrindavan. Raise your hand if you think it is transcendental. Yes, it is extraordinary. Extraordinary. Navadvip. Mayapur, extraordinary, not of this world. Something of this world, a thin covering is there in the form of plastic bags and this and that and all and things like that. But actually the covering is very thin, and the transcendental Dham pours through, and everyone experiences this. Extraordinary. Okay, Krishna willing, tomorrow we shall continue what happens. Whether Kamsa will kill Devaki, or maybe something else will happen. Maybe. What do you think? You think he'll do it? Anyway, we'll find out tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Krishna katha ki jay. Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai, Dhamma Mathura Dham ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.